Not to.
Do you hear that?
Yeah. Good morning.
Was she laughing or was she smiling?
She was crying.
The Subcommittee on Committees of the Rules Committee will come to order. Welcome back to the Capitol, everybody. I hope nobody spent too much time here. We have a series of appointments that we need to consider. And intermixed in here may be some that Senator Senshum and I make independently, but we're going to notify you of those. So, Ms. Campbell, should we just go right down the list?
Certainly. The first on your list is the Advisory Committee to the LCC Office on the Economic Status of Women. The people who had been appointed were Senators Mary Olson and Sandy Pappas and Senators Steve Dill and Warren Limmer. They have all agreed to continue serving, so the recommendation would be to reappoint these members.
Senator Senshum?
I would
move that.
Move the slate.
I noticed just for...
With great thanks.
I noticed, though, just to kind of keep it interesting, you flop the names from the...
Yeah.
Well, it lists the appointees currently are Olson, Pappas, Dill, Limmer, and she's flipped it and it's gone. She's now got.
That's your copy only.
Oh, mine says Mary Olson rather than Olson Mary.
Yes, that's accurate.
It says Olson Mary.
Okay, so that was what you told me not to tell people, that I already have the crypt sheet.
Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
Do we, these people, show up at these meetings? Do we know any of that? Or?
I don't. Sally Kidd is here from the LCC. She may have some information on that, but I really don't know one way or another.
All right.
Would Ms. Kidd want to
do they meet?
Have an opinion on that or not necessarily?
I don't really know either. I don't work with the OESW Commission, but I believe they have been.
Okay.
Sure.
All right, just...
Okay, on the Senshum motion... Olson, Pappas, Dill, Limmer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion adopted.
The next item on your list is the Advisory Council on Workers' Compensation. This is a majority leader appointment, and we don't need to act on it as a subcommittee, but for your information, Don Gertesmeyer has retired, and so the Teamsters have recommended that Ed Reynoso be his replacement. So that would be the recommendation there.
And that's the appointment that I would...
Spell that.
R-E-Y-N-O-S-O.
Just Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Edward. Senator
Metzen. Just a sidebar, there was a nice retirement the other night for Mr. Gertesmeyer and got, I don't know, 300 people or something?
Big crowd.
Big crowd, so we all wished him well.
And so Senator Senshum doesn't need to do anything there right now, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so Bach, Mr. Lux, Gimsey, Gander, and Shogren are all still on there.
Ed Reynoso would just fill
Gertesmeyer's
term.
Yes. And so that's the appointment I'd be intending to make unless people had a strong opinion one way or the other. So, okay.
The next on your list is a subcommittee on committee appointment. This is the Autism Spectrum Disorder Task Force. If you remember last summer, we appointed a group, although there wasn't actually anything in statute. And that group did meet and make recommendations. They came back this year looking for a permanent place, or at least for a while. And the group has been expanded. A number of appointees are done through outside organizations. So the group is much larger than this, but this is all that we are required to make. A senator from the majority, a senator from the minority, and one public member. I did try to get information out as I received it to all of you on the public members, and there was quite a bit of interest in that. The recommendations for the senators are the senators who we appointed last year and wish to continue serving, and that's Senator Terry Bonoff and Senator David Senshum. The recommendation that we have on the public member is a young man named Zadiq Khair, and he is somebody who lives in Senator Pogue-Miller's district and is the director of a group called Parents United Against Autism. This public member is required to be a parent of a child with autism, and he does fit that bill. The Somali community is also appears to be adversely affected by autism, and so that is the interest there.
His spelling is Z-A-D-I-Q. capital K H A Y R. And I met him. He and other representatives of the Somali community came to our offices last session. Mm-hmm. And he seemed like a real sharp.
Yeah.
I did not actually know he lived in my district until you just said that.
Yes, Mr. Chair, as I was reading his resume, I know there's been many comments made about how autism has been particularly it's been hard. It's been affected the Somali community, and I'm curious, since that's an immigrant population, did they have that in their native country, or has this happened since they have been here?
Ms. Campbell, you've done some
work. Is there any knowledge of that?
There have been a few articles. I'm certainly not an expert on this issue, but the indication was that they did not necessarily have these issues in their native countries,
really?
That it's been something that is affecting children. These are children that have been born in the United States.
Some sense that it might be diet or chemical?
It's
a variety.
It should give some people some clues of what for research on... on getting at the heart of it, rather than the task force, I think, probably is focused on whether we're delivering the kind of services that are needed. But I think that there's certainly should be a great deal of interest of trying to get to the heart of the matter. And I'm speaking. I think this could be very supportive to have this fellow on that task force. But it would be interesting to deal with it, because it is a very rapidly growing phenomenon that is going to challenge us for a long time.
I believe, Senator Senjum, didn't a couple of delegations that came to see us say that there was some federal money for research at the University of Minnesota?
There is.
Senator Berglund?
Yeah. There is federal money available.
And apparently some of it has found its way to our university, and they're going to be using some of the immigrant populations precisely as Senator Olson described.
Okay, good. Thank you.
As I understand, I'm not certain of that, but Senator Senjum, anything to add?
You may recall, and I don't know if it's 6 or 8 months ago, with the Department of Health released a study that did show that the incidence of autism amongst the Somali community was disproportionately higher. But beyond that, too, also the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta is very active in terms of trying to identify the causative agent or agents, and so this is a great big deal from the standpoint of medical research.
Yeah, good.
So Berglund moves, Bonhoff, Senjum, and Mr. Kier. Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed.
Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
Who appoints the nine others? I happen to see...
Other nine others.
I can go through the statute.
The reason I mention that, I see a couple of... I'll be a little parochial. There's a couple of applicants from Inver Grove Heights and Mendota Heights that went to resumes here, and I'm just kind of wondering if I could put in a little plug from her how that's done, because...
I can go through the statute. The others are one member appointed by the Minnesota chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, who is a general primary care pediatrician, one member appointed by the Minnesota Academy of Family Physicians, who is a family practice physician, one member appointed by the Minnesota Psychological Association, who is a neuropsychologist, one member appointed by the directors of public school student support services, one member appointed by the Somali American Autism Foundation, one member appointed by ARC of Minnesota, one member appointed by the Autism Society of Minnesota, one member appointed by the Parent Advocacy Coalition for Educational Rights, and one member appointed by the Minnesota Council of Health Plans. The House also has appointments, as we do, two members and one public member. And Senator Berglund, so you're aware, the House did appoint... I believe it's Ms. A.J. Perone or something, as their public member.
Did you encourage your people to...
Yeah,
There's several that are, sound fairly flexible.
It sounds like, Mr. Chairman, members, that my people should get in touch with the
professional organization
groups here. Yeah. So I'll let them know of it.
Senator Burgum.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzen, I think we thought that there might be, you know, some working groups or some ways for people to be involved other than being officially on this group. So
I let them know that if they're not, Mr. Chairman, part of this, they can.
They were all good resumes. Right.
Yeah.
There would be other ways for them to volunteer, I'm sure.
Get out of there. Thank you.
Mr. Watson wanted his copy back.
Senator Metzen. Senator Metzen, here's a copy for you.
Oh, I get my own copy now.
Okay. Do you want his markings on it? Okay.
Leave that
Senator Sanchez.
Maybe a question for Ms. Campbell. On those other appointments, and I may, well, let's see. Are you getting any notices of, you know, the certain groups want to nominate certain people? Do we have some of that yet? And I may have some, and I just haven't read it.
I don't believe that they are required to notify us. I believe that I have gotten two notices of people who have been appointed from those groups, and that's it. And I actually didn't bring them down with me. But I don't believe that they're required to notify us, so that may be, I'm not entirely sure how that's going to work.
Who do they?
Line 31 of the statute, if anybody has it, it looks like it's my job to at least convene the first meeting, so maybe I'll just write to these organizations.
I'm certainly happy to forward information to you as I get it, if I get it.
Well, perhaps if I just write and say we're going to have a meeting at a certain time and get it done, that will reduce them.
You're convenient?
Well, it's in the statute.
Oh. Okay.
31. I'm sorry.
Let's change that.
Senator Senjum has done a lot of work in organizing this, and I believe he carried the bill.
And turn it over to somebody.
Well, that's great. I just never had seen.
Mr. Chair, how would these people, I suppose that they read the statute, how would they know who to notify that they've made an appointment?
Mr. Chair, it's probably up to me in this case to notify
that's
them.
That's why we usually have somebody in the statute designated as a convener, so that the first meeting does get held, I think.
Good.
Well, Ms. Campbell will avail herself to any kind of assistance she needs. Okay. Compensation Council.
This is a majority leader appointment, so this is just on here for your notification. The majority leader will reappoint the members who have been serving. That's Senator Mimwan, Senator Pretner Solon, who have indicated they are willing to continue serving. I believe that the minority leader wishes to wait some on their appointment to this, unless they've changed their mind.
Members, Senator Berglund, Senator Metz, are you comfortable with Mimwan, Pretner Solon?
Absolutely.
All right, so that's by way of notification. Corrections Strategic Management Operations Advisory Task Force.
This is another majority leader appointment, and this is another of our new appointments, our council's task force. This is something that came out of conference committee, and I believe it was a House position, and the DOC did support it. They're looking for better ways to manage corrections and save some money. So these are both public appointments. Senator Higgins had recommended Mr. Dan Kane. He is the executive director of a group called RS Eden. I believe they work on addiction-related issues. And the second is a MAPE recommendation, and that's Ms. Deborah Shattig.
And is she a member of MAPE, or is she an executive?
She is a member of MAPE.
She's a manager in the system somewhere?
That's my understanding. There is also a minority leader appointment, Mr. Doug Lambert, and we've received notification that the minority has appointed Mr. Lambert.
And do we have any information about him?
Mr. Lambert? Mm-hmm. I do not. I have the letter from Senator Senjum's office, but perhaps Senator Senjum or Mr. Wolf knows a little more about him.
Mr. Chair, I have to defer to Mr. Wolf, I'm sorry. Yes, He's part of the Dodge Olmsted Community Corrections organization. I'm sorry, good to read this right in front of me. And recommended by that group, Olmsted County, and highly respected individual in our community.
Thank you.
I don't know how these keep getting to be majority minority leader appointments. I did check our off my office checked, and Senator Higgins is comfortable. She suggested Mr. Kane, and you know who he is, right? He's pretty well respected in the, and I just don't know Ms. Shadegg. But that was a recommendation from Higgins and MAPE.
It is. I do have the letter from MAPE indicating that she's been an employee at DOC for 31 years, career as a corrections officer, working her way up the ranks to corrections sergeant. It looks like she works in Stillwater, and 2 years ago she began her career as a discipline hearing officer.
Overly qualified.
Okay, so that's by way of notification again, I guess.
That's correct.
I will let members know that I had other suggestions, and I defer to Senator Higgins a little bit on that one.
I believe the next on your list is also a majority leader appointment. We have Senator Terrell Clark, who we believe her term has expired, and we would just be reappointing her. She wishes to continue serving.
Engelbertson's had not retired or had not.
That's correct. He appears to be set until 6:30 of 2011.
Okay.
The next on your list is the LCC Subcommittee on Redistricting. This is one of our new task councils or task force, and is in preparation for the actual process of redistricting, which will happen in a couple years. This is a senator from the majority and one from the minority, and the recommendations are Senator Larry Pogemiller and Senator Chris Gerlach.
Was this in a law somewhere that we're creating this, or we're doing this on our own, or what?
I believe that this is actually something that the LCC did in the full LCC committee.
We had done this in the previous decade. You set one of these up, and this is the group that starts to talk about the technical aspects of being able to do redistricting.
That is my understanding. Perhaps Senator Mr. Watson could give further detail.
Is that correct?
Every
decade, we kind of set one of these up to just get the mechanics in place. Well, I would like to serve on that, if that's okay with the committee. And apparently, Senator Gerlach is who you would like.
Mr. Chair, I move this way.
On the Senja motion?
Aye.
All in favor say aye. All opposed. Motion adopted.
Next on your list is the LCC Working Group on Ethnic Heritage and New Americans. This is another LCC group. It's been in place for a while. The people who had been serving all wish to continue serving. That's Senator Patricia Torres-Ray, Senator Joe Gimsey, and then two public members, Gloria Contreras and John Keller. There are two other public members who've indicated interest, Mr. Dan Liu and a Mr. Jose Gonzalez, and I did send that information around to members. I believe that the two that are serving were integral to the formation of this group initially, and so the recommendation would be to have them continue serving. But if after review of the other public members, somebody has insights.
Anybody have any view other than continuing the current two? Okay. Senator Metzen moves Torres-Ray, Gimsey, Contreras, and Keller. Keller is Irish, I would assume, huh?
That's ethnic.
Perhaps
that's not. That's an ethnic heritage.
The name is Irish. That doesn't mean Mr. Keller is Irish.
It's still an ethnic heritage.
I'm happy.
He's got one. Everybody has
one. Everyone has one. So, on the Metzen motion. Senator Metzen, are you ready? Or
I'm ready.
On the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion adopted. What is Gimsey? What nationality is that?
It must be Norwegian. It's so odd.
Is that Norwegian?
I don't know.
Okay.
The next item on your list is another LCC group. This is the LCC Working Group on Preparedness for Terrorism and Disasters. The The people who are on serving currently wish to continue serving. That's Senators Terry Bonoff, Linda Higgin, and Warren Limmer, and public members Rocco Forte and Karen Anderson. You'll see she's listed as Karen Jungbauer, and I think that was probably just a typing mistake at some point. That is not her name and never has been, apparently. Her name is Karen Anderson, and she does wish to continue serving.
Where is she from? Which Karen Anderson is it?
You know what? I don't have. I only received notice that she wished to continue serving and never received any further information from her and wasn't involved when she was initially appointed in 2007. So, to be honest, I'm not entirely certain.
You don't know where she's from?
I do not. And I only know that the...
Okay, Mr. Chair.
Minnetonka.
Okay, she's the former mayor of Minnetonka. She's been president of the National League of Cities. She's been quite involved, so I was certainly well qualified here. And Rocco Forte, isn't that the name we became very familiar with that managed the happenings around the 35W bridge?
Yes.
Yeah.
So. Has he? Did he retire or not? Maybe he's, I can't remember.
To my knowledge.
He still has that position, his preparedness position with Minneapolis. Okay. Senator Olson moves, Senator Bonoff, Higgins, Limmer, Forte, and Anderson. And our apologies to her for having her listed as a young bar. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted.
The next item is also a subcommittee on committee's appointment. That's the Minnesota P20 Education Partnership. This is new to us this year, but you may be familiar with the Minnesota P20 Education Partnership.
P16,
I'm sorry. And they've been around for a couple of years, but that did not include any senators or elected officials. I believe that group was appointed by the commissioner a couple of years ago and is representatives from the university, business, different K-12 education groups, and I believe also early education. And so this is simply adding two elected officials. We have a member from the majority and a member from the minority who we would need to appoint.
So this was the P16, now it's the P20?
They have expanded the group.
Four members are the two House and two Senate members, apparently?
That is correct, although I believe that elected officials have been invited to attend the meetings and have been there over time.
So, Mr. Chair, I don't think that 16 and the 20 is the size of the membership. I think it's the years of education, so it's expanding into graduate school.
Oh, I see.
That's my assumption.
So,
Mr. Olson, you want to serve?
Yeah.
Okay. So Senja moves Olson, Uyghur. Uyghur apparently carried the legislation.
Yes.
So Senator Senja moves Senator Uyghur, Senator Olson. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion adopted.
The next item on your list is the Mississippi River Parkway Commission. It's probably familiar. We appoint it very often. This is a subcommittee on committee's appointment. The current members are Senators Senjum and Pappas, and they do wish to continue serving.
Senator Berglund moves Senjum and Pappas.
Yes.
And now let me just, does the river go through Rochester?
I was going to ask.
It's got a tributary.
Yes. It's in the watershed. No.
Usually they're under river when you get appointed to this one. Yeah.
Pappas's district touches the river, I presume.
Yeah. South St. Paul. I served on it before.
I've served on it years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, on the Berglund motion for Senator Pappas, all in favor say aye. All opposed, motion adopted.
Sewer for the Harbors and Swifts.
The last item that's on your list is the State County Results Accountability and Service Delivery Design Council. This is a new group, and I believe it was in the Health and Human Services Omnibus Bill. Mm-hmm. That's not accurate?
No, it was the tax bill.
That was what I had understood also, but Peter... Mr. Watson had different information.
Mr. Watson?
Maybe it's in two places, but it's in the Health and Human Services, though.
Now,
it's that one. Okay.
This is kind of funny in that the language does not indicate the subcommittee on committees do the appointment, but rather the full rules committee. So we bring it to you as a subcommittee to discuss, but it looks as though in a few minutes the full Rules Committee will have to act on this. The recommendations here are Senators Linda Berglund and Warren Limmer.
And Senator Berglund, this is the one you want to be on.
Yes, this was what became of the governor's coming reorganization. Kind of taking it to the next step.
So are we? So that is not. We're still working on that. This group is going to recommend how to kind of move forward with that general concept. So it's still kind
of
a lot.
I think the idea was to do more than we were able to get people to agree to by the time the session ended.
Okay.
And this group, which has a lot of other county people, et cetera, and
we'll keep
department
it alive.
People will keep working on it.
And Warren's interested, I take it?
Chairman, just, and it's not our point, but I see Senator Limmer is on about three or four of these things, and maybe that's good if he has interest in them, but just an observation.
Today has he been put on stuff?
Yeah. And that's fine. I mean, I just wanted to draw it.
Continuation of one.
The first page.
Terrorism.
The preparedness and terrorism.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's probably the stuff he likes, and he's good at it. So I just.
Well, we were directed. I was directed towards him, believing this was a tax committee.
Okay, that's fine.
He's on the economic status of women too.
Should it be a tax committee person?
Did he meet
Burton? I thought it was human services.
No, this has to do with administrative simplification and consolidation of counties.
Maybe you want to think about somebody else who works in that area.
I know that Julie Rosen worked on this as a part of our conference committee. I don't know if she's interested in serving on it. But
Mr. Chair,
I want you to think about it before a rules committee at 10 or 11. I wonder, Senator Sengem, if you don't want somebody who's kind of works in that area, and that might. Rosen sounds better. Who else was a?
She was sort of our liaison between the administration and the counties.
Yeah, I had heard her speaking on the topic with the governor's office. So, well, why don't you? So this is all of these now, Ms. Campbell?
Mr. Chair.
Yep. Senator Sengem.
Why don't we replace Senator Limmer with Senator Rosen and I'll just have to convince her.
Okay. Well, our subcommittee then is going to recommend that to the full rules committee. This one. We'll recommend Berglund and Rosen. So, Berglund, you think she's the right person?
Well, I would assume she wants to continue working on it because I know at the end of the session she told me that it needed more work.
Okay.
And I told her, well, you know, if we can get more work done before we leave, then it could be in another bill, too.
Okay. So that's no reflection on Senator Limmer. It's just that Rosen appears to be the right person.
Mr. Chair, when we talked about this, we were looking, frankly, for a tax committee member, believing it was a tax committee initiative.
And now we won't finalize this till rules, so you may want to check with her ahead of time. So, Ms. Campbell, anything else before we're going to have to?
There's just one more item, and this is a majority leader distinction, but given that it affects the Lessard Outdoor Heritage Council, which is a subcommittee on committee's appointment and kind of that entire cultural and outdoor heritage funding pot, apparently there was language in the legacy funding bill that indicated that the majority leader needed to appropriate Senate committees, they need to designate Senate committees with jurisdiction over some of that money to put together guiding principles for the use and expected outcomes of those funds. And so it appears that the appropriate Senate committees would be Senator Alan Anderson's Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Budget Division, Senator Tomasoni's Economic Development and Housing Budget Division, and Senator Chaudhry's Environment and Natural Resources Policy
Committee. The language directs?
The language says that the guide shall be recommended jointly by the Cultural and Outdoor Resources Division of the House, and that's Representative Mary Murphy's Funding Division. The appropriate Senate committees as designated by the majority leader of the Senate, and the Lisard Outdoor Heritage Council.
So we're saying, I'm saying to these three committees, you're supposed to come up with some guiding principles to talk to the House about?
They're supposed to, in cooperation with the House Budget Division and the Lisard Heritage Council, develop these guiding principles. And it just requires a majority leader distinction.
Of which committees are supposed to do that?
That's correct.
Okay, so my recommendation is going to be those three committees?
That's okay. Accurate, yes.
I'm not on any of these committees, so I suppose I don't really care what happens here, but are they each recommending, or are they going to get all together at one time in one room and come up with a list of recommendations?
The legislation says the guide shall be recommended jointly. That is a lot of people. I'm not entirely certain how this is going to work out, but
well, I'm glad somebody thought about how it should happen.
What's Chairman? What's the Heritage Council is? They're the ones coming up with all the recommendations and everything.
No, for
a third of them.
For what?
But it's they're the outdoor heritage part, but the clean water, and the cultural legacy. Parts, the parks and trails, and the cultural, both historical and art is that's not under the Lisard Council.
Oh, that part isn't.
They just have
that. They had that was created to deal with that
part one of the thought was had. I thought always thought have a third party group out there doing that instead of us micromanaging everything.
Yes. That was critical to even getting the amendment passed to have that structure, but it didn't encompass the whole range of what the
I just didn't think we should be interfering, but apparently this part.
Those don't have the clear guidance
that not micromanaging.
Yeah. The Lisard Council had that clear direction to follow, but these other areas don't.
Senator Metzen, the language does indicate the Lisard Outdoor Heritage Council also be involved in these joint recommendations.
Okay, just so, Mr. Chairman, we're not stepping on toes and getting into where I thought we shouldn't be, but I guess we're all right.
Well, this does appear to be the year that everybody struck compromises by having the majority leader do something. I had nothing to do with any of these things. But we need to figure out a way to, because, I mean, the situation in the Senate is we're supposed to have the subcommittee and committee do things. But
well, and we kept getting these bills where the state government operations committee would amend bills to do it differently. And then some of them would come here, and then we would put them back. And so I think it'd be a good idea if a couple of people would just sit down and figure it out so that it wouldn't keep happening like that in the future.
And Mr. Chair, if this structure of getting there doesn't work, maybe it's something we should pay attention to in the next session, too.
There's also an issue related to these things coming out of conference committee, and sometimes there have been instances recently where they're not even coming, they're not majority leader appointments, they're not subcommittee on committee appointments, they're not ex officio, they're chairs, and now the rules committee in this one instance, so we want to be.
This could be dangerous, but we maybe should come up with a rule that says any bill coming out of a conference that does any of that has to go back or something. I don't know. We've been thinking through that.
Kind of going astray here in many.
Because I think most of these examples have been things that have come out of conference that we just all of a sudden there they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of the reason of having it go through the Rules Committee in the first place is so we don't get more and more and more and more and more and more of these things, and that we don't have things being invented that duplicate other things that are already supposed to do that. And if they're being invented in conference committee, that sort of subverts the process, really.
Sometimes they're compromises. They can't, House or Senate can't get what they want, so they say, well, let's create a task force or something. Ms. Helgen?
One of the things that we've talked about is so often these things do come at the end, and if you don't have someone sitting and reading line by line these bills, they get through and never go to Rules Committee. one of the things we talked about is somehow trying to work with, you know, to do like a word search for working group, task force, committee, anything like that, and like searching to see before the bills are finally approved in these committee reports, and having them have to come to Rules Committee no matter how late it is, if it's in the middle of the night, before. So at least the Rules Committee would have to look at it, so they'd be identified in some way if we could work with the revisors on it, you know, somebody to do a search. Because literally these things are coming out with these so many different ways of appointments, and no one ever looks at, you know, the Rules Committee, which is certainly charged with...
had something like that, I bet you'd stop people from doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I think if people knew that it was going to get caught and they'd have to come and talk about it, then they would plan to come and talk about it ahead of time so they could...
Well, we'd have had time this year. Senator Metzen?
Yeah, I think we have to be... Our chairs should be a little more disciplined than... I mean, the old days we'd say, well, it had to be in one bill or the other, you know, and not by the 2 o'clock in the morning where you just stick in a task force or this or that. I think we've been, all of us have been negligent and not telling, particularly chairs, I think, and conferees that, you know, you can't just start sticking this stuff in all the time. And we got to get back to that instead of, in my opinion, surprising us with new commissions, new task force, and like you say, Senator Berglund, whoever said it, Senator Olson, that there's duplications and triplications, and 2 a.m, you just don't start setting up these task forces. So we have to be a little bit more on the ball here, I think, and not allow all of this stuff to come up.
Okay, we will see you at 10 o'clock. What? 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock.
Sir, could I just ask? Sir, would you adjourn?
Not yet.
I mean, just a thought, and I remember my first year here, I was on government operations or whatever that was. Senator Olding at that time was, I think, appointed by Senator Vickerman, and she did a lot of work on it, but she went through and sort of did a cleansing, kind of, you know, checked in with all these people, found out if they were meeting or not, and frankly, we did, as I recall, terminate some of these groups just because they were
they never met. Some didn't meet.
Yeah, I don't know if it's up to this committee to check in on the active nature on these things from time to time. But you kind of wonder.
I think that is a process that we go through every couple of years. Please join us.
Peter Brick Williams, Senator Russ, Legislative Assistant. We did that last year. We've done that with our in state government operations. We've gone through the list of things and eliminated I can't remember off the top of my head, but 2 dozen, maybe more.
2 dozen that you got rid of?
Mr. Watson may be able to help us because he is counsel for our
committee. Mr. Chairman, I do have somewhere, maybe not in this room, a list of agencies that were on our master list that have disappeared this year because they expired or were
eliminated.
Yeah, the Agricultural and Open Space Preservation Task Force, the old Autism Task Force, the County Veterans Services Working Group, the Green Jobs Task Force, the LCC Capital Restoration Working Group, the Commission to End Poverty in Minnesota by 2020, the Municipal Boundary Adjustment Task Force, the Sesquicentennial Commission, the Budget Trend Study Commission, the Transportation Strategic Management and Operations Advisory Task Force, and the Working Group on Controlled Substance Laws. Okay. Either because they expired or because somebody...
Mr. Chairman, don't eliminate 24 and add 28, though.
Okay. We only added 5 this year,
right,
so we're on a...
Thank you.
We did have a net improvement.
There are others, though, in going through our database. There is one in particular we've never appointed anybody to. Others that we haven't reappointed people to in several years, there are certainly others that it appears that we could get rid of.
Well, we'll continue to work on that. And one of the things that I was going to mention in the Rules Committee, and I will when we get there, is one of the ways to control the Senate budget is to have fewer committees. Yeah. And I know that'll go over really well. But that is something as a group, I think, for the for those of us that return, that is really how you control the Senate budget, by having fewer committees. And it's a hard thing because people want committees. So. Okay, meeting, the subcommittee is adjourned. We'll see you at 11 for the Rules Committee. We're going to go over...